Welcome to 7-Minute Torah. I'm Rabbi Micah Streifer. In this podcast, we make modern meaning out of ancient texts. We explore the weekly Torah portion in about 7 to 12 minutes. 7-Minute Torah is a production of La'asok, the liberal Beit Midrash. You can become a supporter at laasok.org or at patreon.com/7-Minute Torah. Sometimes the Torah portion is about what it's about. And sometimes we Jews find meaning in our texts that actually have very little to do with what the text was originally about. Today we're going to take a look at some midrash on this week's Torah portion in order to understand what kind of meaning our ancestors found in this text and what it has to do with our own lives as well. Before we go any further, let me say a thank you to Jonathan Klein, who is one of our weekly supporters here at 7-Minute Torah. Jonathan is one of a small group of people who give a small amount each week or each month to support my work on this podcast and to support liberal Jewish learning. If you'd like to become a supporter, I appreciate that very much. And you can do so either through patreon.com/7-Minute Torah or through laasok, laasok.org. And by the way, the support that you give through laasok.org is now tax deductible in the United States because we are a project of a registered not-for-profit. So thank you to Jonathan for your support. Thanks to all those who support this work. And thanks to everybody who's here. Now let's talk about the Torah portion. We're reading Vayakhel. Vayakhel starts at the beginning of Exodus 35 and goes through the middle of chapter 38. We are barreling down on the end of the book of Exodus. In fact, in a lot of years, Vayakhel is read together with Pekudei, which this year we'll read next week, as a double portion to bring the book of Exodus to an end. This year, we read it on its own. Now, what happens in this Torah portion is very much parallel to what we read a few weeks ago in Truma. Back in Truma, if you remember, the people were commanded to build a mishkan, to build a sanctuary or tabernacle. And there's a great deal of detail about how they're supposed to build it, how they should build the ark, and how they should build the curtain and the screen and the table and the lampstand. This very detailed set of instructions that's given to the Israelites. Now, several chapters later, we read about them actually making the mishkan. So a lot of this parsha sounds a lot like what we read in Truma. Only back then it said, and you shall make. And now it says, and they made. Now, tucked into all that is the story of the appointment of the craftsman, the contractor, who is designated by God to oversee this whole project. His name is Bezalel. And here's what we read toward the end of chapter 35. This is verse 30 and 31. It says, Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Israel. Moses said to the Israelites, Re'u, kara Adonai b'shem Bezalel, ben Uri ben Hur l'mate Yehuda. Look, Moses says, God has called the name of Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, endowing him with the divine spirit of wisdom, discernment, and knowledge in every kind of craft. So with that announcement, Bezalel is appointed to oversee the project of the building of the Mishkan. We don't know a lot about him, other than knowing the name of his father and his grandfather, Uri and Hur, and we know that he seems to have been a particularly skilled individual. The Torah uses the language of Ruach Elohim, divine spirit. It talks about his chokhmah, his wisdom or creativity. It talks about his knowledge and his discernment. But one of the things that the rabbi sees on in this passage is the mention of the idea of a name. If you remember what I said, Moses says, look, God has kara b'shem. God has called the name of Bezalel. No, what that means on the surface is that he's being appointed to the job. The translation in front of me says God has singled him out. But it's really interesting that that phrase contains the word name, and in particular that God has called his name. So in the Midrash, the rabbis become very interested in the reason that names are mentioned here and the meaning of names in terms of understanding the uniqueness and the specialness of Bezalel and of people in general. So I'm taking this from a Midrash in Exodus Rabbah. And what this text probably is originally is a sermon. A lot of the Midrashim that we have are actually records of ancient sermons that were given by rabbis, probably in their synagogues, where they're trying to get across a message that relates in some way to the Torah portion, but also to the lives of the people sitting and listening to them. And this particular rabbi, who is nameless in the Midrash, starts off by quoting a verse from Ecclesiastes that says, "A good name is better than fragrant oil." That verse comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and it's meant as advice for how to live your life. A good name is better than fragrant oil, which is to say that while you might have thought fragrant oil was high class and expensive and nice, a good name is far more valuable. The Midrash goes on to say, "How far does fragrant oil waft? From the inner chamber to the central hall. But a good name travels from one end of the world to another." In other words, if you put on strong cologne or perfume, I might smell you from across the house, across the room, even across a very large room. But a good name, that travels far further. After all, a good name, the way the rabbis are using this term, is a reflection of our goodness. We make our own good name by acting in good and ethical ways in the world, by living up to our own values, by repairing the world and making it a better place. And that can be experienced way outside of the room I'm standing in, the building I'm standing in, even the country I'm standing in. A good name can travel across the world. And further, the Midrash says, and we're going to get a little icky for a minute here, quote, "Fragrant oil falls on a corpse and putrefies. A good name rests on a corpse and does not putrefy." It's a very strange passage, right? Talking about how oil can be used to mask scents, but the scent of a dead body can cut through the perfume that's used. What the writer of this Midrash is really saying is that a good name, a Shem Tov, can't be defeated by death. Even after we die, our Shem Tov, our good name, stays alive in the form of legacy, in the form of what we taught others, what they learned from us. And we know this from our own lives. We all have people that we keep alive in our hearts and in our memories, and who we remember for certain things that they taught us, whether it be recipes or stories, or whether it be ethics or lessons for life. That's the Shem Tov, that's the good name that stays alive long after they are no longer alive. So a name in Judaism is in some way associated with a legacy that we leave, and our legacy is associated with our own actions, with our capacity to make the world a better place. And in the end of this Midrash, whatever rabbi wrote it brings it back around to the Torah portion. It says the name of Bezalel was better than fragrant oil, and that is why God called Bezalel by name. So in the end, this Midrash doesn't really talk a whole lot about the Parsha. It doesn't talk about the building of the Mishkan. It doesn't talk about who Bezalel was or what he did or why he was chosen. But it asserts that the calling of his name is important and purposeful, that Bezalel had some quality that enabled him to make the world a little better place. That's why he was chosen to build the Mishkan. That's why his name was called aloud by God. And further, the Midrash teaches us that that's not only something that applies to Bezalel. It's something that applies to all of us. All of us have the ability to build for ourselves a Shem Tov, a good name. We do it day in and day out with the way we live our lives, the ways we interact with people, and the legacy that we build for ourselves over the course of a lifetime. So this parsha is an opportunity to think about the legacy, the Shem Tov, the good name of people in our lives, what they've taught us, what we've learned from them, and in what ways their good name helps make our world a little better. And it's also an opportunity to think about our own Shem Tov, about what we wish to be and what we wish to leave behind in this world. The rabbis say that the crown of a Shem Tov, the crown of a good name, is greater than all other crowns. And I think what they mean is that building our own legacy through our own actions is one of the most important powers that we have in this lifetime. Before I let you go, an invitation. Next Thursday, March 14th, we are starting to study Pirkei Avot together. We're launching a 6-week, 1 hour a week Zoom study group to look at the Talmud's tractate of ethical teachings. Pirkei Avot is great fodder for discussion, great fodder for thinking about legacy, thinking about what it is to have a Shem Tov. If you're interested, you can go to laasok.org, laasok.org, and sign up there. You'll find it under current classes. I look forward to seeing many of you in the virtual classroom. Again, that starts next Thursday, March 14th, and it'll meet at 3 o'clock Eastern Time for 6 weeks. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good week. 7-Minute Torah is a production of Laasok, Sacred Texts, Modern Meaning. If you enjoy this program, please consider becoming a sponsor at patreon.com/7minutetorah. For more information about upcoming learning opportunities, go to laasok.org, laasok.org. I'm Rabbi Micah Streifer. Thanks for listening.